Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll be going to your calls a little later on in the broadcast. Again, the number to dial to get your questions answered live in today's broadcast, 888-ASK-HANK. Translates to 888-275-4265. Do remember our contact information throughout the show on the web. It's equip.org via the mail. It's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants, they're standing by at the number 888-7000 and the letters CRI. A prevailing narrative in the modern culture is that Earth, the Earth in which we reside, it's singularly unspectacular. In fact, a few days ago, I read an article in our local newspaper that purported that there are more than a few twin-like planets in the universe that are essentially the same size as the Earth. They get about the same amount of heat from their star as we get from the sun, that are in the not-too-hot, not too cold Goldilocks zone, thereby making the formation of water possible, and that they, like our Earth, provide tantalizing possibilities for the existence of extraterrestrial life. The narrative, at least to me, seems designed to convince the masses that Earth is not only singularly unspectacular, but that we're soon going to discover that humans are likely far less advanced than ETs that live on twin planets and other galaxies throughout the universe. The truth, however, is this. We live on a privileged planet that's both oxygen-rich for survival and transparent for discovery. Not only that, but we ourselves are a privileged species, a species that can compose a musical masterpiece or send a man to the moon. And that's not merely a dogmatic assertion. It is a defensible argument, which is precisely why over the last several years I have championed a DVD titled Privileged Planet. And if you've not seen it, you need to. To put it bluntly, it is singularly spectacular. And it's also why today I want to spend a few moments highlighting the brilliance of another DVD titled Privileged Species. We've been talking about it all month. It too is stunning. And it features geneticist and author Michael Denton and investigates the special properties of carbon, water, and oxygen that not only make human life possible, but that demonstrably make us a privileged species. Dr. Michael Denton is currently a senior fellow with the Center for Science and Culture at Discovery Institute, and he joins us now from the city of Perth on the west coast of Australia. Nice to have you back on the broadcast.
Okay, thank you. Nice to talk to you again.
What are some of the examples of elegance and beauty that underscore a cosmos that's perfectly designed for our privileged species?
Well, basically, one might start with the properties of water. For instance, water has a very high heat capacity, and when water evaporates from the skin, it has one of the highest cooling effects of any liquid, and basically has a low viscosity, which promotes diffusion in cells and allows the existence of a circulatory system where you can pump the fluid through tiny capillaries. And when you look at humans, we're warm-blooded organisms. You find that the the various thermal properties of water, the high heat capacity, the fact that it has an enormously cooling effect on the skin, and the fact that it allows a circulatory system, all these factors together, in a very beautiful way, allow for warm-blooded organisms, breathing oxygen, generating heat. The high heat capacity means that, in fact, as you generate heat, you don't push the body temperature up too much. And then you have a circulatory system. You have a low viscosity of water, which carries the heat to the periphery, to the skin, where another thermal property of water, its evaporative cooling effect, cools you down. So we see that, in fact, the vital fluid of life itself has, of course, it has other properties for the biochemistry of the cell. But as far as warm-blooded organisms like ourselves, it just seems to have exactly the right properties you need. If in our universe you're going to have warm-blooded organisms generating a lot of heat from oxidations and things like that. So that's a beautiful example of the one particular compound, water, has a whole set of properties which are ideal for an organism like ourselves. That's one example. There are many other examples of just sticking with water, of the elegance of the way that the properties of water promote complex life on a planet like the Earth. For instance, one of the things you need to have is you need to preserve water on the planet. And as you know, when water freezes, it expands and the ice is lighter than the water and sits on the top. And that protects, that prevents further freezing of the water, and that preserves the fluid on the surface of the planet. And what is the point of preserving large bodies of water on a planet? Well, once again, it's a fitness for complex life like ourselves. So you find that, in fact, you have one compound, water, which has a whole series of properties which seem to be ideal for biological systems like ourselves. And if water didn't exist and didn't have these properties, we certainly wouldn't be having this conversation, that's for sure. So water itself is one of the examples of elegance in nature, where one compound is a whole lot of different things. Another beautiful example. Are you following me, Hank?
It's, oh, absolutely, and I think everybody else is too.
I'm trying to simplify things. So that's one example. The other thing is that if you look at, we need oxygen, and that's universally conceded that complex carbon-based life forms would have to be using oxygen, oxidations, as a means of getting energy. And if you look at the way we get oxygen, you get an absolutely a beautiful train of coincidences and facilitation of the process in nature itself. First of all, the sun gives out most of its energy as visual light, which is necessary for photosynthesis, just the right light for photosynthesis, and gives out heat. And you need heat for chemical reactions, and you need heat, of course, to keep the Earth, a planet like the Earth, relatively warm. So the sun gives out warmth, and it gives visual light. That's just what you need for photosynthesis, or for photochemistry. Photosynthesis is a branch of photochemistry. And then if you look at the basic constituents of the atmosphere of the Earth, you find that, in fact, it's oxygen, nitrogen, carbon dioxide, water. These are the basic building blocks of carbon-based life, and they're the basic constituents of photosynthesis. So there they are in the atmosphere. And guess what? Those constituents let through just the right light, visual light, to promote their photosynthesis, the chemical process of photosynthesis. And through the greenhouse effect, they absorb also sufficient heat to keep the Earth from being a permanently frozen, what they call snowball Earth. So that the very constituents of photosynthesis, as it were, allow the right light through the atmosphere to promote the mechanism of photosynthesis. What is extraordinary as well, though, they also absorb all the bad light, all the high energy radiation, UV, gamma, and so forth. So in other words, they just let through this tiny little part of the electromagnetic spectrum, which is exactly what you need for life, what you need for photochemistry, what you need for photosynthesis, and of course, what you need for us, because we need oxygen. So if you look at the properties of water, nuclear properties of oxygen, you're not only impressed by the fact that they seem to be specifically tailored for beings like ourselves, you're impressed by the elegance of the way that this end or design is executed. I mean, that two examples. Many of the other examples I'm dealing with in a new book I'm writing called Microcosm. But they're rather detailed and technical and perhaps a bit difficult to put over in a radio interview like this. But I think we all experience water. You can see its fitness for life on Earth. You can look at a waterfall, and the low viscosity of water allows it to tumble over the rocks, and that causes erosion of the rocks, leaches out the chemicals for life into the hydrosphere. Or you can look at a glacier, which is moving down a valley, grinding out the rocks. So water as a solid and as a liquid plays a critical role in turning over the crystal material of the Earth, refreshing the Earth for life on Earth. And it goes on and on and on. I mean, the properties of water themselves are amazing. The way that photosynthesis works to generate oxygen and so forth. The elegance is, the parsimony is wonderful. You have one fluid, like water, does virtually everything for you. I mean, it's absolutely amazing, okay? And it does everything specifically in terms of its thermal properties for warm-blooded organisms like ourselves. So I've... over to you, Hank, now.
Well, we're talking to geneticist and author Dr. Michael Denton about privileged species, how the cosmos is designed for human life. What I love about the DVD is it's very accessible. Being the father of 12 children, the youngest of which is 10 years old, I know that this DVD communicates on a powerful level to the young and to the old alike. Again, it is elegant, it is well designed, it captures the imagination, and it moreover equips you to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. Do remember, available for your gift when you contact us on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Richard Dawkins is arguably the best-known Darwinist on the planet today, and he claims that those who believe in an intelligent designer are ignorant, stupid, or insane. But would not common sense dictate, Dr. Denton, that wherever there's specified organized complexity, there must also be an intelligent designer?
Well, yes. I mean, certainly. If you have to choose between saying the origin of the universe was chance, the origin of life was chance, all the fitness of some of the points I discussed just earlier, it's just chance. Okay, that this is one universe among millions of universes. In other words, if you compare explanation of the sort of agnostic or atheist, which says, everything is just chance, compared with the other alternative, which is things are here by design, okay? The chance thesis seems to me to be a far less credible thesis altogether. I mean, why we live in a culture which feels as a culture, and it does, it feels that in fact the chance explanation is far more sort of satisfying or credible than the design hypothesis, given the evidence that's available, is of course a very puzzling thing. For instance, to explain complexity of the sorts of things we see in nature by chance strikes me as being rather ridiculous. I mean, if you move your hand, you could say, well, I wanted to move my hand. The fact that it moved in a particular direction, just chance. And this would be really quite ridiculous. And chance explanations are sort of almost outlawed by science. I mean, science is looking for explanation. It's not looking for. It's just highly improbable. Okay. So to me, Dawkins and his ilk and the people in his sort of camp for continually arguing the point that, in fact, that there's no evidence for design, blah, blah, and so forth. I mean, basically, there's two explanations. You can either say it's highly, infinitely improbable, everything, or you can say it's there by design. And it seems to me that, in fact, the design hypothesis is far more credible compared with the infinite improbable sort of hypothesis which Dawkins and people keep on sort of, you know, laboring all the time.
Let's leave it at that for just a moment. I want to come back and follow up on my question after the break. Dawkins also seems enamored by the notion that life came to Earth via aliens or meteorites. Why has that notion become so popular in the modern epic? I'll address that with Dr. Denton on the other side of the break. Do remember, we'll also go to your calls later on in the broadcast. The number to dial is always 888-ASK. Hank translates to 888-275-4265. Right back with Dr. Michael Denton.
In the new documentary film, Privileged Species, How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life, you'll discover the special properties of carbon, water, and oxygen that make life possible, and explore unique features of humans that make us a truly privileged species. Hank Hanegraaff says this enjoyable and persuasive high-quality film presents scientific discoveries, not mere conjecture, that point overwhelmingly to an ultra-fine-tuned universe as the handiwork of a super-intellect. Anyone watching will know there is a creator. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our thanks for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Bill Nye, the science guy, professes, "I'm insignificant. I'm just a speck of sand. And the Earth is another speck. The Sun is another speck and the galaxy another speck. I'm just a speck on a speck orbiting a speck among other specks in the middle of specklessness. I suck." Well, far from being insignificant, what the scientific evidence really suggests is that human life is the intended outcome of exquisitely fine-tuned parameters in the physics and chemistry of our universe. All this is explained in Discovery Institute's documentary film, Privileged Species, How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.
When looking at the night sky, you're not just looking at stars and planets, you're looking at the very fingerprints of God. The cosmos presents irrefutable evidence of God's design, genius, and majesty. You'll find this evidence in The Privileged Planet by Jay Richards. The Privileged Planet presents an amazing supply of evidence to show that our planet is perfectly fit not only to support life, but also to point to the existence of the giver of life. You're taken on a scientific odyssey from a history of tectonic plates and solar eclipses to our location in the Milky Way, the laws that govern the universe, and much more. It will prove that not only do science and faith mix, but science points to faith. The Privileged Planet, available on DVD right now when you call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to equip.org.
Mm-hmm.
Steven Weinberg, a Nobel laureate, high-energy physicist, and avowed skeptic, has commented, "Life as we know it would be impossible if any one of several physical quantities had slightly different values. Far from being insignificant, the scientific evidence suggests that human life is the intended outcome of exquisitely fine-tuned parameters in the physics and chemistry of our universe. All this is clearly explained in the new documentary film, Privileged Species, How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life." To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our thank you for your financial support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to further CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Thousands of you calling from all over the planet. We will get to your calls a little later on in the broadcast. Do remember, as always, Monday through Friday at this time, the number to dial to get your question answered live, 888-ASK-HANK, translates numerically to 888-275-4265. But we have the privilege right now of spending a few more moments with Dr. Michael Denton. He's a geneticist and an author. He's also a senior fellow with the Center for Science and Culture at the Discovery Institute. And he was gracious enough to join us from the city of Perth on the west coast of Australia early in the morning for him. And just before the break, we're talking to Dr. Denton about Richard Dawkins, who claims that those who believe in an intelligent designer are ignorant, stupid, or insane. But he also seems, Dr. Denton, to be enamored by the notion that life came to Earth via aliens, directed, or meteorites, undirected. And I'm wondering what your perspective is with regards to why a notion like this has become so popular in the present day.
Well, yes. I mean, basically, it's because it's so very, very difficult to imagine how the first living cell could come about, you know, by currently known scientific processes. At this moment in time, I think that, in fact, you can say, and quite definitively, that the best explanation for the origin of life is certainly special creation, okay? I think that there is no other really credible explanation at the moment. And even if you try to imagine that the origin of life occurred by some unknown, as yet unknown, natural processes, these would have to be built into nature by design, okay? So the two possibilities. The first one is special creation. The second one is it has to be built into nature by design. This is the reason why people look for, you know, aliens, you know, something coming from outer space and so forth. The reason is that it's so difficult to account for how the first living cells would have arisen on the surface of the Earth or indeed any planet. And so it's the turning to sort of aliens. I'm not actually aware of exactly what Dawkins said regarding this, and it's quite amusing. But I mean, basically, this is turning to sort of magic and obscurantism to try and get over a major problem. The major problem being that it's exceedingly difficult to imagine how life could have arisen on a planet like the Earth without special creation. And if it's not special creation, it would have to be some extraordinary properties of matter, which we don't yet understand, which have all been ordered specifically to bring life into being. So whether, in fact, you know, you're looking at some sort of miraculous event, or whether you're looking at something that's natural, whatever it is, there has to be design behind it. The famous Nobel laureate George Wald, who did a lot of landmark work in the physiology of the retina and photoreception in the eye. He got a Nobel Prize some time ago, George Wald. I think he made the statement that, in fact, the origin of life is inconceivable by natural processes, but I prefer to believe that. That's his sentiment there summarized up what you know is generally accepted by most sort of mainstream agnostic secular biologists, that in fact we can't explain how life arose, but it had to arise in some way without design, because that's our metaphysics, that's our worldview, and that's, as we were talking about earlier, for some strange reason, our culture at this stage in its development prefers chance. Any intimation of design, and why our culture has you know taken this sort of this approach is something I can't fully understand. But certainly at the moment, chance, which is not an explanation, is always far more acceptable than any version of design you can conceive of. But the reason why he's saying this is that he can't explain it. I mean, the basic point is that he can't explain it. And so, in fact, if he turns to aliens and things like this, which I wasn't fully aware of, actually, thanks for informing me, Hank. But that's the explanation. You cannot explain the origin of life. Modern science is stumped with that, this major problem.
Here seems to be another sleight of hand and sleight of mind, if you will. It's the notion that the fine-tuning of the universe is negated by the notion of a multiverse. It seems that this is special pleading as well.
Well, yes. I mean, once again, it's turning to chance. My own objection to the multiverse theory is that, in fact, our universe contains conscious agents such as ourselves, okay? And the phenomenon of mind and conscious agency would seem that, in fact, it doesn't matter how many times you roll the dice with the constants of physics, there's no security at all in the notion that you're going to get the universe with mind and conscious agents. The phenomenon of mind and consciousness, sentience, and our own agency is completely inexplicable at the moment in terms of physics. And this was beautifully brought out in a book by Thomas Nagel, a leading American philosopher, called Mind and Cosmos, where he shows that reductive materialism, what he calls it, in simple terms, let's just call it physics. The current physical description of the world can't account for some of the most important phenomena, which is mind, sentience, and our own agency. It can't account for this. So it's no use sort of saying, as the multiverse theory is, well, if you keep on changing the constants of physics, you keep on changing the physical parameters, you'll eventually get the physical parameters we have in the Earth. But there's absolutely no security that by doing that you're going to get a universe which contains mind, consciousness, and agents like ourselves, because at the moment you can't explain these in terms of physics. So, in fact, that's a huge problem for the multiverse people, because, they can only sort of get a part of the way towards the answer, but they can't do it. You cannot churn out the constants of physics and have any security that you're going to get a world with mind, consciousness, and agents like ourselves. So that's my own feeling, and that's my own skepticism about the multiverse proposition as a way of getting rid of explaining the fine-tuning. It could only explain some of the fine-tuning, but it couldn't explain, as far as I can see, a universe in which beings like ourselves have conscious experiences and are agents. In fact, basically, human agency might require a highly controversial thing that I call top-down causation. And the multiverse approach is a bottom-up approach. It's a sort of it's all causation is from the bottom up. But mind, consciousness, sentience may require something highly controversial, top-down causation, which doesn't fit into the physical picture of the universe at all. So my objection to the multiverse is that this universe contains certain properties, characteristics, which seem to be beyond physical description within the terms of modern current science. That's my particular take on it. And of course, also, it's just, once again, chance as an explanation for design, the preferred sort of strategy in our culture at the moment.
Again, we're talking to Dr.
It's a bit complex talking about these things, but it's That's my own particular take on this.
Sure.
I reject the multiverse because it cannot explain. You can't roll the dice of the physical constants and hope to get things like ourselves as a result of the process.
Talking to Dr. Michael Denton, he is the featured speaker in Privileged Species. And I'll tell you, this is just an elegant production, a demonstration in and of itself of intelligent design. It's available for your gift, the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Instrument broadcast our outreaches around the world. You can get your copy for your gift on the web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource Consults is always standing by, the number 888-7000 and the letters CRI. In the last few moments we have together on this broadcast, Dr. Denton, I wanted you to perhaps summarize this notion communicated by privileged species that the universe was preordained for human life, that we live on a planet that actually allows us to fulfill our full potential, and that even human form is deeply significant.
Yes, well, yeah, I mean, the universe certainly, the current picture of the universe certainly conveys the impression that it's ordered for beings like ourselves to understand it. I mean, for instance, if you take a simple, I mean, there's lots of science fiction scenarios, you know, sort of Star Wars and the various sort of, Star Trek and so forth, where you have a universe full of all sorts of intelligent beings which are quite different to ourselves. But if you actually ask, well, how could any intelligent life form in the universe actually develop a technology, develop metallurgy, learn to use fire and things like this? You're forced to a remarkable conclusion. You're forced to the conclusion that only an upright bipedal form such as ourselves on a planetary surface very similar to the Earth could ever master fire or develop technology. And that's just a fact. I think that's established. I think that the only intelligent beings, if there's anything else out there in the great beyond, they would have to be, if they've developed the technology and they sort of know things about the universe and have explored and manipulated nature, they'd have to be very, very like ourselves. I think, in fact, the sort of Star Wars, Star Trek sort of scenario is complete science, is genuine science fiction. Science fiction is supposed to be science fiction and is science fiction. Because the only beings, if there are anything out there, that have an advanced technology, we have to be very similar to ourselves. And to get the conditions that a being like ourselves, with our basic bodily design, could manipulate, master fire, manipulate the world around them through technology, is in fact, if things are very fine-tuned for that end, fire is a very remarkable phenomenon. And You can only use fire. You can only use fire in a controlled way in a very, very special environment in the Earth's atmosphere at the moment.
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to cut you off right there because we're up against a hard break. You can continue the comments on the other side of the break. We'll come back with a few more minutes of Dr. Michael Denton on the other side of the break, so please don't touch that dial.
10 raised to the power of 120 is an incomprehensibly large number. That's the number 1 followed by 120 zeros. In fact, that number is vastly greater than the total number of atoms in the entire universe. But remarkably, if the energy of the Big Bang were different by just one part in 10 to the 120th power, life would not exist in the universe. The new documentary film, Privileged Species, How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life, presents scientific discoveries pointing to an ultra-fine-tuned universe that is the handiwork of a super intellect. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to invest in the work of CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back with more.
When looking at the night sky, you're not just looking at stars and planets. You're looking at the very fingerprints of God. The cosmos presents irrefutable evidence of God's design, genius, and majesty. You'll find this evidence in The Privileged Planet by Jay Richards. The Privileged Planet presents an amazing supply of evidence to show that our planet is perfectly fit not only to support life, but also to point to the existence of the giver of life. You're taken on a scientific odyssey from a history of tectonic plates and solar eclipses to our location in the Milky Way, the laws that govern the universe, and much more. It will prove that not only do science and faith mix, but science points to faith. The Privileged Planet, available on DVD right now when you call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to equip.org.
The widely quoted astrophysicist Michael Turner once commented on the remarkable fine-tuning of the universe with a smile. He said, "The precision is as if one could throw a dart across the entire universe and hit a bullseye 1 millimeter in diameter on the other side." Well, far from being insignificant, we are indeed a remarkably privileged species. The new documentary film, Privileged Species, How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life, investigates the special properties of carbon, water, and oxygen that make life possible. And it explores unique features of humans that make us a truly privileged species. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our thank you for your financial support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to further CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.
Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Are humans the accidental products of a blind and uncaring universe? Or are they the beneficiaries of a cosmic order that was planned beforehand to help them flourish? Privileged Species, How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life is a new documentary film that explores growing evidence from physics, chemistry, and biology that our universe is exquisitely fine-tuned to support intelligent beings like ourselves. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And do remember, Privileged Species features geneticist and author Michael Denton, and he is on the air with us on today's broadcast. He joins us from the city of Perth on the west coast of Australia. And before we went to break, talking about the fact that the cosmos is perfectly designed for our privileged species, that the universe was preordained for human life, that we live on a planet that actually allows us to fulfill our full potential, and that even human form is deeply significant. And you were in the middle of giving some examples to make the point.
Yes, well, yeah, basically, just the if you look at the various animals on the earth, you'll find that in fact there's only one form that could really easily handle fire, and that's a upright android form like ourselves with free hands and, you know, a bipedal species. And we're also about the right size, because in fact, you know, if you're the size of an ant or a small dog, you really can't get close to a fire to manipulate it. So when humans mastered fire, basically they could only do this because of the basic bodily design, the anatomy of a human. And as I was saying, in fact, earlier in the conversation, Hank, I was saying that, in fact, basically, we talked about the multiverse, which doesn't really account for mind, sentience, and agency. And it's no use having our body and all the and all its and its fitness for utilizing fire on a planet like the Earth, and it's no use having the Earth just fit for our manipulation and so forth. You also got to have a robot won't work. You've got to have a conscious agency that can creatively interact with nature in a way which is, you know, absolutely unique. And so you've got the physical world, which is uniquely fit for beings like ourselves to explore, our body, which is uniquely fit to do that exploration. And you've also got to have in nature, so the universe must be a place in which mind and consciousness and agency can be actualized as well. So you've got a whole lot of factors which have to be in place if any being anywhere in the universe is going to have our powers and capabilities. And yes, the impression that these various coincidences and this unique fitness conveys is certainly there by design, that is preordained for this particular destiny.
Dr. Michael Denton again. He is the featured speaker in Privileged Species, How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life. And we deeply appreciate your contributions, not only to Privileged Species, but to the broadcast today.
Okay, Hank, it was a pleasure talking to you. Complex issues, but very important issues. Yeah.
Well, again, thanks so much for being on the broadcast. Look forward to having you back someday soon.
Be a pleasure, Hank. Okay. Thank you.
You got it. And do remember that this is a macro issue. I've often said that the issue of origins is not just a apologetic issue. It is the apologetic issue. How one views their origins will ultimately determine how they live their life. This is one of the reasons I am so excited to put Privileged Species into your hands as a way of saying thank you for standing shoulder to shoulder with this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach in the battle for life and truth. There are a copy available when you go to the web at equip.org, when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. We'll go right to the phone calls now. Do remember the number to dial, 888-ASK. Hank translates to 888-275-4265. First up, Ron in Prescott, Arizona, listening on the web. Hi, Ron.
Good afternoon or evening, Hank. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2, Paul's talking about the gospel that he preached to them, and he says that if they hold fast the word which he preached to them, they would be saved. But if they don't hold it fast, is it saying that they will lose their salvation, where it says at the end of that, unless you believed in vain?
I don't think so. I think that's reading something into the passage that the passage isn't intended to communicate. What Paul is doing is reminding his hearers of the gospel, a gospel that he frequently preached, a gospel that his hearers receive and on which they have taken their stand. And by that gospel, they are saved, if indeed they hold firmly to that gospel by which you can be saved. But if you do not, then whatever you're believing is vain, which is to say that if you believe another gospel, or you believe a gospel that entails a Jesus other than the Jesus that he preached, then you have a gospel that cannot save. Certainly, there are lots of people in his day, just like in our day, that have a said faith as opposed to having a genuine faith. In order to have a genuine faith, you must believe as Paul is elucidating in this passage that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose again from the dead. In fact, he goes on to say that if you do not believe that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, then the preaching that he does is useless. The faith that they manifest is vain faith. In fact, those who have already died, if indeed Christ has not been raised from the dead, are lost. There's no redemption for them. So only through the gospel that he's preaching, a gospel that features as the as its centrality the resurrection, only that gospel is a gospel by which we can be saved.
So, in other words, he's saying that it's possible that some people can believe or have a false belief, and it's evident later on in their life as they turn away or they get into a cult or something. Is that basically what it's saying?
Sure, because look, if you genuinely believe in the gospel that the Apostle Paul preached, you don't simply have an insurance policy that gets you into heaven when you die and keeps you out of hell, but you have then a living relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't merely have a changed life, then you have an exchanged life. Jesus Christ himself comes to live within. The Holy Spirit dwells in your temple. And not only so, but then you are one of those who continues to cultivate the faith that you have by partaking of the means of grace that is presupposed by the gospel.
Yeah. Well, I've met some people who said they were saved. In fact, young men from a Baptist church who went to the Armstrong Church while Herbert W. Armstrong was still alive. And they basically renounced their Baptist beliefs and adopted what Herbert W. Armstrong taught. Would these be in this group? And would 1 John chapter 2:19, where it says they went out from us, but they were not really of us?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right.
They would have remained?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. This is an example of people who have a said faith as opposed to a real faith, and as a result of that, they're easily misled by false teachers like most certainly Herbert W. Armstrong was. When the Worldwide Church of God rejected Armstrong's teaching, I had the privilege of writing the foreword for Joseph Takacs Jr., the pastor general of the Worldwide Church of God, for his book, Transformed by Truth. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Mike, Modesto, California. He's listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Mike.
How you doing today, Hank?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good, good. Hey, I have a question for you. I was wondering if you could kind of parse out what open theism for me is and kind of give me if it's like a good or a bad thing or if it just depends on a person's interpretation, if it's a good or a bad thing.
Well, it's not an interpretation whether it's a good or bad thing. It is definitively a bad thing. In fact, it's a shame that open theists today are becoming more and more popular as they currently communicate that God does not have perfect knowledge of the future. And I think the way we respond is pointing out that the Bible from beginning to end demonstrates the omniscience of God. Isaiah made it clear that God knows the end from the beginning. As such, God's knowledge is exhaustive, including even those things that are yet future. Not only that, but if God's knowledge of the future is fallible, then biblical predictions that depend on human agency might well have turned out to be wrong. Even Jesus' predictions in the Olivet Discourse could have failed, and that would undermine his claim to be God. God himself could have failed the biblical test for a prophet if indeed God's knowledge of the future is incomplete, and we would be foolish to trust him, therefore, to answer our prayers and we would not have a confidence in approaching God that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have that which we asked of him. One other point that I make in this regard, and that is while open theists suggest that God cannot know the future exhaustively because he changes his plans as a result of what people do, in reality, it's not God who changes, but people who change in relationship to God. I've often used the analogy of walking into a headwind. You're struggling against the wind as you walk into a headwind. But if you make a U-turn on that road, the wind is now at your back. So it's not the wind that has changed, but you have changed in relationship to the wind. And therefore, God's promise to destroy Nineveh was not aborted because he didn't know the future, but because the Ninevites, who had walked in opposition to God, turned from walking in their wicked ways and came into alignment with the will and way of God. All God's promises to bless or to judge have to be understood in light of the condition that God withholds blessings on account of disobedience and withholds judgment on account of repentance. Neotheism, finite godism, open theism, whatever moniker you want to use, is a disaster when it comes to a biblical worldview. And I am surprised that so many are buying into the skin of the truth stuffed with an enormous lie, particularly in this regard. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour once we go off the air, continue taking your calls. If you are hanging on, please be patient. I will get to your call. If you're dialing in, do remember the number in the U.S. or Canada that you can dial to get your answer, your question answered in the next hour. That number is 888-ASK-HANK. You start calling that number right now, 888-ASK-HANK, and I'll be here for the next hour answering your calls, 888-ASK-HANK. Thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with this ministry in the battle for life and truth.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bill Nye, the science guy, professes, "I'm insignificant. I'm just a speck of sand. And the Earth is another speck. The sun is another speck, and the galaxy another speck. I'm just a speck on a speck orbiting a speck among other specks in the middle of specklessness. I suck." Well, far from being insignificant, what the scientific evidence really suggests is that human life is the intended outcome of exquisitely fine-tuned parameters in the physics and chemistry of our universe. All this is explained in Discovery Institute's documentary film, Privileged Species: How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.
When looking at the night sky, you're not just looking at stars and planets, you're looking at the very fingerprints of God. The Cosmos presents irrefutable evidence of God's design, genius, and majesty. You'll find this evidence in The Privileged Planet by Jay Richards. The Privileged Planet presents an amazing supply of evidence to show that our planet is perfectly fit not only to support life, but also to point to the existence of the giver of life. You're taken on a scientific odyssey from a history of tectonic plates and solar eclipses to our location in the Milky Way, the laws that govern the universe, and much more. It will prove that not only do science and faith mix, but science points to faith. The Privileged Planet, available on DVD right now when you call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to equip.org.